Good evening. Good morning. Thank you for staying up late with me this evening. Our guest, J.C. Johnson, an adventurer, an investigator, cryptozoologist, interested in all things unusual and claims of the strange. We've been talking about encounters with Bigfoot, black-eyed children, with the Night Stalker creature. We're also dealing with skinwalkers. You mentioned in one of the last segments something about the miniature T-Rex.
Miniature T-Rexes is something not necessarily centered on the reservation. It's up on the Animas River over by Cortez, Colorado, Durango, Colorado. This has been going on for some time, and it might well be a velociraptor, something of that nature. It's just we've got an umbrella description once again. And, oh, it's a mini T-Rex. Well, I'm not sure exactly the genus of it, but it has been seen many, many times. And they're pack animals, so they have been seen 3 and 4 at a time together, broad daylight. Not just at night, not in the shadows, but broad daylight. So this is something we're looking into. And obviously, we've got breeding populations when we've got multiple numbers and when we've got basically 200 square miles of sightings and sighting areas. And with some of the other strange relic reptiles that we're looking into, we've got 400 square miles of sightings for many years. So we've got breeding populations.
Breeding, okay, but what are they eating? Obviously, they're carnivores, and if there's that many of them roaming about, what are they feeding on?
It's really interesting, too. He's probably no longer with us, and it's my fault for not getting out there in the last few years. I've got a sheep herder over by Newcomb, New Mexico, and I believe one of the universities came. They knocked on his door. He's got some fossilized dinosaur tracks on his home site lease out there. And they came, knocked on his door. Hello, Mr. Benally. We've got some Subway for you and some water and stuff, and we're going to go up. We got some plaster Paris. We're going to cast those fossilized prints you have up there in the rocks and blah, blah, blah. You're welcome to come watch us. And thank you so much for letting us be on your home site lease and everything else. And he looks at the lady and he says, you want to see some fresh ones? And he took her down into the wash, and the wash was fairly muddy from a recent rain. And here's almost identical prints, fresh in the wash, to what they were going to go up and cast in the rocks.
But miniature versions?
What's that?
But they were miniature versions?
No, they were huge. They were bigger than the tracks they were going to cast in the wash.
How can that be, though, JC? How can there be dinosaurs of that size that still exist? Do you think they're popping in and out through interdimensional portals? I mean, this just sounds insane.
Science, and this is pseudoscience in the first place to look at it. Uh-huh. You know, we're the ones talking to the people. We're the ones taking the reports. We're the ones talking to people about what they've seen, their sightings.
Right.
And this particular rancher runs some sheep and cattle out there, and he said the lizard comes through, it's bigger than his pickup truck, and it'll pick up a sheep and tilt his head back and swallow him whole. And this is what he told to the university people. Now, think about this. Pseudoscience, we've got philosophical science, we've got philosophical paleontology, we've got philosophical humanology, we've got philosophical things going on. It's a religiosity with these different studies. They've got these fresh prints in the wash. What do they end up casting? The fossilized prints.
Okay, right, but why wouldn't they do the fresh ones?
They didn't. They wouldn't. They couldn't. They won't. That's too far out of the box. They're there, eyewitness to these fresh prints, probably from the night before on this wash, probably over a half a mile of prints.
But where are they hiding then? Where are these things existing? That should be something.
Hiding. The funny thing about the pterosaur, the pterodactyl, the pterotaurans, the different winged creatures, the different winged entities that are out there, they don't know they're supposed to be extinct. They're hardwired to do what they've always been doing. They breathe, they fly south, they fly north. Whatever it is they're hardwired on their program, they're still doing. They don't know they're endangered. They don't know they're extinct. They don't know they're not supposed to be here. So we've got everything acting in according to its program. fighting. I don't see it. I don't see it where something other than probably the furry people, something with incredible intelligence that would hide. Yes. But the reptiles are just doing whatever they've been doing all along, and they're still doing it.
But at that size, again, that's what I'm having problems with. If they were reptiles like lizards, even monitor lizards, things like that, but if we're talking about T-Rex-style creatures, how are those not being seen and you know, not just footprints?
That's the whole thing. They are being seen.
But science is just ignoring? That would be one of the biggest scientific finds in history if there are living dinosaurs, not just the crocodile and alligator and some of the creatures that are descendants, but if we're able to prove and find this, somebody marketing wise, much like the Jurassic Park books, the John Hammonds, there would be somebody that would want to capture one of these because it would be a $1 billion industry to have people come in and see a living dinosaur.
And there's folks out there hunting them. Trust me. You don't have to go down to the Congo in Africa, a lot of other places. Come out here to the desert areas of the Southwest.
Let's take a break with J.C. Johnson. We'll take a break. We've got phone lines lighting up. We'll take your calls. We'll take your questions. We'll take your examples of encounters with the strange and cryptids from around the world. J.C. can weigh in on the thoughts of what you may have experienced. And remember, become a Coast to Coast insider and never miss another minute of Coast to Coast AM. You'll get access to over 5 years of archives of the show. You'll get access to one-on-one interviews with some of the biggest and best, brightest talents around the world that talk about all of the different topics that interest you. You'll also get a chance to be part of interactive chats and more. You can find information on signing up to be a Coast to Coast insider. Just go to coasttocoastam.com. We'll be back with more right after this. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host this evening, sitting in for George Norrie. I'm Dave Schrader. We've got our guest J.C. Johnson online with us. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Alex in Phoenix on Wild Card 4. Welcome to the show, Alex. What did you want to talk about this evening?
Dave, thank you very much. Great to hear you. You sound awesome. We got mutual friends. We have some mutual friends, actually, the three of us do. JC, I don't think you can come on a venue like this and not mention, first let me say who I am. I'm a cryptozoologist guy, kind of like JC. I try to be more, not than JC, than the other cryptozoologists, more scientific. But whenever I get up in New Mexico, Northern Arizona, that goes out the window because unbelievable stuff happens almost every time JC and I are together. JC, tell everyone about the disappearing footprint and the time portal on the San Juan River.
This is so bizarre and unusual. I'm so glad you were there. I wish it would have never happened. But, you know,
yeah.
I got somebody that was there with me. Yes. We got up in the morning. We were doing a two-day river trip, and these are very remote areas on the San Juan River on the Navajo Reservation. And I told Alex, before we even went down there, I said, the San Juan River is like a house of mirrors. Nothing is as it seems. There's just so many strange things going on down there. But, you know, he's like, I'm going. I'll go with you. And we packed up a canoe for him. We had a lot of headwind that first day. We got kind of a late start, so we got down before this area that opens up, I call the Boca, and that's where the land flattens out. You're going to get a lot of wind. And I said, we'll try that tomorrow, and we'll camp today. We'll put off early. So we set up right on the bank of the river, right there. I mean, the water's right next to us. Put up our tents, some chairs, and so forth. Had a fairly pleasant evening. We heard all kinds of activity in the river, all kinds of stuff. So the next morning, I got up and I scoured the camp. I went all over, you know, we heard river crossings. I didn't find any prints. I didn't find any sign, nothing. We're sitting there making coffee, and we look off to our right. Right there in the water is this beautiful 18-inch Sasquatch print. Perfect. Perfect print. I'm like, how did we miss that? So we got up, got our cameras. We came back to take a picture of the print. Obviously, it's in about 2 inches of water. We can't cast it or anything like that. We're going to get a picture. The weird thing is, once we went to take the picture, what was standing in the print stepped out of it, and it filled in with water and mud. And, you know, Mr. Alex Heron, this was 2009, Mr. By the Book, seeing something like this, I'm like, okay, Alex, here's some of the weird stuff. And we couldn't deny it. I mean, whatever was in the print stepped out of it. Whatever was there in stealth mode. And by association, I'm saying something of what we would consider the hairy hominid variety. Definitely. And it was a perfect print. It was a gorgeous print. And what was in it stepped out of it when we went to take the picture.
So you think that something was invisible to the eye standing there?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Creating the print, much like an imprint on a bed when you've sat down, but that it was there just unseen. And when you went to take it, it lifted its foot, which caused the impression to rise and fill back up with the water and muck and mire from the watery area.
There you go.
Wow, fascinating stuff. Thank you very much for calling in to spawn that question. We appreciate it, Alex. Let's go to wild card. Let's go to wild card line five. We've got Donovan in Camp Verde, Arizona. Donovan, welcome to the show. What did you want to share with us?
Oh, hey, yeah. My dad, he's 64. He's a native of Arizona. They built a cabin, him and his brother and his dad built a cabin in Bear Flats, Arizona. Is JC familiar with that?
Is that off the rim or is that up in Apache County?
It's right at the basin of the Mogollon Rim.
Okay.
Thompson Creek, Tonneau Creek.
Yes, yeah. Very familiar with that area.
Yeah, my dad is a retired police officer, never taken a drug in his life. He doesn't drink. When he was probably about, I'm guessing, 13, he saw a Bigfoot cruising along through Bear Flats, maybe 7-8 feet tall, and it got a kind of a gait, a stride that a human can't mimic. Anatomically, it'd be impossible for a human to walk that way. And there's been several sightings up there, including the host asked earlier about lost children. There was a small child somehow got lost. Days later, he was found high up on a cliff in like a little niche kind of cave. And the child was so young, he couldn't really talk, but he kept saying, ah, big teeth, long fur. And they kind of assumed it might have been a Sasquatch that maybe came to his aid, or maybe, I don't know, could have been holding him for some other reason, but the child was well-fed and so on. And, yeah, there's a lot of sightings right up there in the Mogollon Rim.
Oh, Mogollon Rim is just tons of sightings. And if you were listening earlier, I was talking about Blue Ridge Reservoir, and that's up on near the Mogollon Rim also. And wherever you've got water, you're going to have a lot of the furry people congregating because the ungulates, the elk, the deer, and everything else are going to be down there, too. It's a smorgasbord for the furry people. And it's interesting, too, you know, going back to Dave Pilates and his research where some of the children were talking about who took them, the different descriptions that they give. And some of these children are so young that they're giving general descriptions. I remember I was up on the Lukachukais about 3 or 4 years ago, and I ran into a family up there, and they were building a road adjacent to the camp that I'd made. And the gentleman up there is a part-time school teacher, and he had his nephews and nieces and everybody up there helping him run sheep over the summer and so forth, which is a wonderful thing for the young people to get up there and work at a sheep camp or work at a cattle camp up in the mountains in the summertime. It beats playing video games and getting in trouble. But his young niece, she was about 2 or 3, started crying a little bit, and I understood what he told her in Navajo. Don't cry, or the Yanampushi is going to come get you. The Yetso is going to come get you. And I understood that. And I kind of laughed. And I said, you're going to scare her. You're going to stunt her for life. He says, no, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we had a family up here picking pinyons. And they had a three-year-old, and she was throwing fits and having tantrums, you know, and they told her the same thing. They took their eyes off her for just a second, and she was gone. And they couldn't find any trace of her. And there was people up there cutting wood, and they went and got people cutting wood, people up there gathering pinyons. You had a bunch of folks up there picking pinyons. They went and got the sheep herders, the cattle ranchers, everybody. They went and mobilized, and they found this young lady 3 miles away, and this is crossing over three very steep ridges, creeks, and everything else, and they found her up on a high ledge crying hours later. And she said the bear man took her. That's how she could tell him. So interesting.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's unbelievable. Again, that they find her alive and in a place she couldn't have gotten to on her own. Let's try to squeeze in one more call if we can. Anthony in Fort Lauderdale on Wild Card Line 1. Welcome to Coast to Coast. What did you want to ask?
Yeah, thank you, Dave. I had a situation in downtown Fort Lauderdale. I took a picture of this person by a bus stop. The body, the triceps and the forearms are all the same size, like a monkey-like. And he was just full of tattoos, and his ears were larger than the side of his head. And he had really sunken-in eyes and black. I drove by twice before I took the pictures, and the energy off this guy was incredible. So I'm praying up before I approach this. And then the energy told me to leave once I took those pictures, before he looked up. So I have two of them looking down. He's looking at a large phone, in blue jeans and blue shirt, but his energy was just incredible. There wasn't room for any, I mean, it was all tattoos under the neck, the face, the eyes, and everybody was walking around him as they were approaching him down the sidewalk. And I just wanted to send it to somebody to say, what, you know, is this a real person? Because it's very startling to look at.
Well, send it to me at dave@darknessradio.com. That's dave@darknessradio.com. I'll try to forward that on over to the good folks here at Coast to Coast AM, see if they can add it to the website as well. Thanks a lot for listening in, and please send that over to me, Anthony. I'd love to take a chance to take a peek at that picture and see what we find. All right, we've got J.C. Johnson, about a minute left in this segment, J.C. We'll continue taking phone calls as we move forward. Is there a case right now, anything new that you haven't investigated before, any new weird claims that you'd like to get out to this year?
Well, obviously, we're still doing follow-up on different investigations, but we've got a situation that's called the track find, and I want to give a shout-out to Lon Strickler from Phantoms and Monsters, a very good friend, and typically when I've got something really cool, I'll give him the information, photos, and video links so he can help us share it. And by sharing things, that's when we get a worldwide populace look into things where people get back and say, yeah, I saw that. Oh, I know what that is. This happened to me. That happened to me. You know, that's why we get the videos up and we share them, because we get the feedback from other folks who've had similar experiences, and we get that by sharing.
Phone lines are open. We want to hear from you, J.C. Johnson, our guest this evening, and we'll take your calls if you'd like to talk about strange circumstances, creatures that you've seen, real-life encounters. We want to hear about that next on Coast to Coast AM. Good evening. Good morning. Welcome back to the show. This is Coast to Coast AM. If you like the strange and unusual, then you're in the right place. You can also check me out on my radio show Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. till midnight Central Time. I'm the host of Darkness Radio, where we explore monsters, myths, legends, ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot, psychic phenomena, conspiracy theories, and more. You can find our free archives and access to our show right at darknessradio.com. You can also listen to our show live. We're based out of Minneapolis, St. Paul, but we stream the show to a global audience right on our site. And then keep your dial right there, because right after Darkness Radio, George Norrie and Coast to Coast AM continues your journey into the evening. This evening, our guest, J.C. Johnson, a modern-day Indiana Jones of the cryptid world. He's here to talk to you and take your calls as we discuss strange creatures and one-on-one encounters and sightings. Let's go to Wildcard Line 3, Greg in Dobson, North Carolina. Thanks for hanging in with us, Greg. What did you want to talk about?
In 1993 or 94, I'm not sure, I was living in the outskirts of Nashville, Tennessee, in a place called Antioch. I lived at the Arbor's apartments. I was out walking the dog one day or letting the dog do his business out in the front yard. And I could feel something watching me. And it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Everybody around there was at work except me. And I could just feel something watching me. And I started looking at some woods down in the woods directly in front of me. And couldn't see anything, but I could hear leaves rustling in the trees. So I started looking up toward the tops of the trees, and I had very good eyesight at the time. I didn't do drugs. I didn't drink. And I saw something crouched down in the top of the trees that the only way I can describe it, and I don't even know if the movie had come out yet, so I didn't know anything about it, but the movie Predator, where they saw that invisible creature.
Where you see that kind of rippling lines around it as though something's there but distorting the air?
Exactly. You could see the outline of everything, but you could see right through it. And it was sitting up in the very top of the trees where it wouldn't hold the weight of a man by any means.
Right.
And this thing was as big as a man. And I just stood there for a second looking at it, and then I let go of the leash, and I took off at a dead run. I yelled, "Hey!" And took off at a dead run toward this thing, and it started running across the tops of the trees. It ran the length of a football field in just no time. I mean, it was really fast. And I don't know how it was running across the tops of the trees. But I know what I saw after I thought about it for a second. I thought, what in the world are you doing chasing this thing? And I stopped, and it stopped about a football field away from where it had started and turned around and looked at me again. And then it took off out through the woods, through the top of the trees, out in through the woods, and I didn't see it again. But it I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, JC, have you heard of creatures like this that have that kind of distorted visual aspect around them, almost like the Predator, that allows them to, you talked about that big footprint where there was something there but nothing there. Have you seen anything like our speaker is mentioning right now?
Well, you talk to a lot of the different people who habituate with Sasquatch, they talk about them wrapping themselves in light and so forth and being able to cloak and so forth. You know, personally, I don't know this to be fact other than what happened to Alex and I down on the river. And I didn't see the outline of anything. I didn't see the predator type thing, but we go back to the Skinwalker Ranch and hunt the Skinwalker with George Knapp. And we've got the Gorman family. Somebody came, they sat out in the field to meditate or whatever, and they saw a predator type apparition move up next to this guy and scream in his ear. It's out of the book. But they saw something, basically, if you want to use the term wrapped in light, and you can see through it. Something came up to the guy meditating in the field and screamed in his ear, and the Gormans saw it, but the outline of it. And something weird. You could see through, much like our caller. He's talking about, you know, the weight of the tree couldn't support a man. Yet there was something up there the size of a man.
Let's take
scared
another...
the devil out of me. I know that, and I've never ever told anybody about it because I thought people would think I was crazy as a loon. But
well, you may be crazy as a loon. That jury's still out, Anthony. But at least we're here to listen, and this is the perfect place for you to share these kind of stories. Thank you so much for listening and being a part of it. Let's take a break. When we come back, west of the Rockies, Anonymous is online from California. And I believe maybe a skinwalker, something like that. We'll find out more about the story. Stay tuned. J.C. Johnson and Coast to Coast continue right after this. Good evening. Welcome back to Coast AM. J.C. Johnson is our guest this evening. We have open phone lines. J.C. will be with us for a few more minutes, and then we'll continue taking your calls into the next hour. West of the Rockies, Anonymous, welcome from California. So you're an astral projector, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, we just heard an interesting mentioned by Anthony, talking about being able to see something without being able to see something. Could somebody who's astral projecting and making their selves known there, could they be perceived by the awake and by the conscious as nothing more than a visual distortion? Could that be part of what we're experiencing?
Partly. You see, when you do this, you assume the attributes of whatever you're doing. So if you go into a dog, you have dog senses. You might not be a dog, but you feel like one.
Oh, wait, hold tight now. Astral projection, I thought, is your astral self leaving the body. So you say you not only project your astral form out of your body, but you put it into other creatures?
That too. I call it interactive astral projecting because I can literally interact with the physical world. I can also hijack the aura of animals and people. Things of that nature, similar to what we would call a vampire might do.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, JC has been covering stories on me.
So you think that some of the things he's seen is in fact actually you?
No. But I know that bloodless carnage was me, how the blood was all taken. I know when those sheep were slaughtered, that was me. I know that Night Stalker was actually just me astral projecting when I was drunk, and I was literally tapping on the wall because I was amusing myself. I assumed I was alone. I mean, forgive me, but that place, I thought it was like an abandoned junkyard at night. I mean, that's what's going on.
JC, what do you make of this, that there's somebody that's possibly astral projecting that's creating these strange encounters? JC? All right, we've got a little bit of issue going on there. Let me ask you this, Anonymous. Are you still there with me?
Please, you can call me Andy. Just
Andy. Andy, okay. Andy, let me ask you this then.
As you can tell, I'm a little nervous because...
No, that's okay. Well, you're doing fine. So if you can hijack that, can you hijack the aura or the physical form of a Sasquatch and, you know, control it? Is that something that you have the ability to do, or have you done it?
No, I've never tried it. I've actually heard through stories that they're actually much more energetically stronger than us, so I don't even know. But I can, like, not hijack a person. I can, like, influence. I call it pulse modulating. I can literally think of them to do an action, and they will perform it to some degree.
All right, and how long have you been capable of doing something like that?
Since about 3, I'd like basically wake up in the middle of a forest and just kind of hang out and cry till I wake up in my bed.
Well, Andy, thank you for calling in and sharing your story. JC, what do you think about that? Somebody that believes that they can astral project and that form may be the things that you're encountering, the you know, as he influences other creatures. I've never heard of this phenomena before, but is that something that maybe the Navajo or the Native American tribes have talked about?
Well, I've heard of it, and there's different entities out here on the reservation that project themselves into different things. But when we go back to Sasquatch, Sasquatch leaves huge piles of poopy and footprints. So I don't see, in that case, that entity being astrally projected. But I do believe there are aspects to what he was talking about, definitely.
Now, talk to me about this. If there's scat that's being left by Bigfoot, how come we haven't found any of that yet?
Oh, we find it all the time. When we do DNA analysis on it, we're really all we can find out is what they've been eating and so forth. And having been involved in Dr. Melba's DNA study, and George Knapp is a supporter of Dr. Melba's DNA study, by the way, and he saw some of the earlier emails from Nature magazine and so forth where they had signed off on the study, and then they turned around and wouldn't sign off on the study. And then you were opening a can of worms here, but I've been intimately involved with the study for over 5 years. Going back to the poopy, unless your Sasquatch had a really bad case of hemorrhoids and there's blood in the stool, keep your poopy. Don't send it in for DNA analysis. You are not going to find a lot out about what the creature was, just what it was eating.
All right, let's go to Wildcard Line 2, Diana in Houston. Welcome to Coast AM. What did you want to share?
Oh, I've not had these experiences that y'all are talking about, but I waited to talk to you because I want to thank you, Dave, for having JC on. He said something all these years I've listened to Coast, I've never heard anybody say, and that is that we everyday normal people that have been listening to Coast for years and years, And we believe these things are real out there. So we feel kind of sophisticated about it because we believe it, right? Then when it happens, something happens to us that's extraordinary, we don't know how to deal with it. My husband is a Jehovah's Witness, okay? He was sitting in the backyard one night just stargazing, and he had seen on TV a thing about UFOs, and he just had this thought, I'd really like to see one. Okay, just a few minutes after that, he did. He didn't even come in the house to tell me. He didn't tell me for like 2 or 3 days. And then when he told me, and I knew he wasn't kidding, he really did see it. He described it very matter of fact and everything, but he never told anybody else. And we moved from, that's when we're living in Katy, Texas. We moved to Kingwood, and we live real near, very near Bush Airport, which is a big, international airport. And supposedly UFOs are attracted to that. And I know this is not a UFO program, but the whole point is, I got out of the car and I was looking up, and I saw three giant, huge, trapezoidal shapes, just in the sky, just sitting in the sky, not. There were lights. They were just sitting there. And I'm like, what is that? I go in the house and I think, wait a minute. I think that was like a UFO or something. I go back out and I stand there and I stare at it for a long time. Did I ever think to take a picture on my phone? No. Did I go in the house and tell anybody else, come on out here and look at this with me? No. So I just want to thank you, JC, for saying that, because when it actually happens to you, it puts you in shock. I mean, you're like,
oh, it does. Really? It does. You go into kind of a shock. We're wired to look at monkeys in the zoo, gorillas, bears, chimpanzees, things like that. That's what we're hardwired to look at. When you see something unusual, we're not wired. We're not made for that. It's totally out of the ordinary for our psyche to handle.
Well, Diana, thank you for listening and calling in this evening. First-time caller, we've got Jerry in Billings, Montana. You're on Coast to Coast AM. What would you like to talk about?
Hi, thanks for having me on. I'm a Coast Insider, long-time listener, and hi, JC. I'll tell a quick story here. Going back to about 1973, my brother was about 16 or 17, and they were out partying. This is on the Fort Peck Reservation, Poplar, Montana, and it's the train bridge. They used to go drink at. Anyway, they could hear a woman crying. My brother got out of the car, and there was also two girls with him. Anyway, he went out to check out the woman crying, and all of a sudden he came back and he attacked the car, which relates directly to a banshee. He was kicking on the windshield and pounding on the roof and everything. And the friend, David, he broke a whiskey bottle on the steering wheel to protect himself. And my brother just snapped out of it. He came too. Okay, so David's dad is Bluebird, and he was an old medicine man. He had them buy some 4 colors of cloth and said, don't go down there until I say it's okay. He went down there and prayed for that area and whatever that spirit was. He said it was okay to go back there. Okay, flash forward 2013, David gets hit by a train on that very bridge. And, I mean, this is a small town, and the train track's about a quarter mile out of town, but just really weird story, and I related it to a banshee spirit. And a shout-out to all the veterans who have served our country and passed on.
Thank you. I appreciate you calling in with that, Jerry. Again, more encounters. It's you know, we think that some of this sounds so outlandish and far-fetched. Some of this just, there's no way that this type of thing could be taking place. Yet people around the world are having similar experiences like this. J.C. Johnson, our guest this evening, we do have links for J.C. and his work up at Coast to Coast AM. We just have a few minutes left. Let's go east of the Rockies, Earlene, Parson, Kansas. You've got about a minute and a half, Earlene. What would you like to share with us?
Black-eyed children.
Yes.
Can they be born of normal parents? One man, the father is Mexican, the girl is Caucasian.
Okay, but now here's the deal. Are we talking just the colored part of the eye is black, Earlene?
No,
or are
let me finish, please.
Okay.
He was born, your readers know about him, he's called Baby Ray on book. He was born with only two channels in his heart. They told him last December, they sent him home telling her he would not live the week out. He celebrated his first birthday in February. I just got to see him again recently. He only weighs 17 pounds. He's walking. He's talking. He sets up. But he is a mean child. He's got a head of hair that is so dark and so much, it looks like a woman's head of hair. And those eyes will lock into you and they will not leave. You can't get away from his eyes until he moves his head.
But is the entire eye black, or is it just the colored aspect of his eye that's black?
All around his face is black.
So there's no white in his eyes at all?
No. And that's why I was wondering, because he's not supposed to be alive, because he only has two channels when you're supposed to have four in your heart.
Well, thank you for calling in.
Child, and he's only 17 pounds? That's amazing.
Right, and you know, this may be some of the new evolutions. Could be the mixtures, the genetic crossbreeding that so many people are claiming is going on with aliens and with this culture. JC, thank you very much for being a part of the show with us this evening and for sharing your stories and encounters with us, and love to visit with you again here in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. That's J.C. Johnson. We've got links up to him, his research and work. You can find it all at coasttocoastam.com. When we come back, we'll continue taking your calls, your encounters with the strange and unusual. That's what we're doing tonight, right here on Coast to Coast AM.